Good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the throne of God. When we come together, Jesus said, "There am I in the midst of them where two or three are gathered together." We know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father there at the throne. So when we come together like this and we're in the midst of Him, we are at the throne of God. Two things I need to tell you this evening before we get started on the scriptures. And we've done a lot of good worship. Thank you, Alan, for that beautiful song and bringing us to the throne of God with that beautiful song. First of all, I know that I've told you all probably maybe on Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you again, I did this morning, and I'm going to do it again tonight, because you need to know what's going on in the world with our brothers and sisters. And in Hong Kong, I'm sure that you all have seen that there are people that are protesting in Hong Kong. There's about 7 million people that live in Hong Kong, and the people have taken to the streets. If you protest in, communist China, and you say anything against the state, or you hold up a placard that has anything on it that brings any type of shame or anything derogatory about the state, the riot police will come and take you away. And they have been trying to describe what is happening there as people who are rioting. I hope that you all have been able to find some place that tells you a little bit about that. Like there are some places on YouTube that you can go to and see Hong Kong protests, and it'll bring up something about that. The people are gathered there, so they're not able to say anything. And they're not able to hold up placards. You'll say, well, what are they gathered for then? Because Christians are being arrested, some are being killed in the process, and they're being deported to the mainland where they will go into labor camps. And again, I had two or three people that came this morning and asked what actually happens in those labor camps. Because if you knew, and I'm not telling you tonight, because we're too often when we focus on the throne, we have some other type of situation that takes our awareness away from Jesus. And we want to be focused on Jesus. Because when we are focused on Jesus, everything else dims. The world becomes more easy to be aware of because we see Him on the throne. We are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things that rob us so much fall into place. So they are there protesting, but they're not saying anything and they're holding up placards. You'll say, well, what are they doing? They're singing. And many of you know the song that they're singing. And the song that they're singing is up on the board right now. Here we go. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Now then, they're risking everything. Even though they're not saying anything against the Chinese communists, they're risking everything. China is one of the few nations that has facial recognition of almost 1.3 billion citizens. And if they're being recognized, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they will be called to account for this. So they're being very respectful, but they are also doing this. And if I had to sing until the time was ready to go here in a few seconds, sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia to the Lord. You say, well, what's that like for them? Well, I watched a video where they did it for 2 hours. Because they're committed. They're willing to give it all. All of it up to Jesus. They are committed to what's happening in their lives. Okay, you need to be aware of that. That's happening there. You also, I'm sure this morning I kind of use this a lot in the 11 o'clock service, and I talked about how that on Friday we almost went to war again. And I think most of y'all are aware of that. Some of you may not be. There was a drone that we had up in the sky. We were thinking we were in, and I think we still are, that we were in international airspace, and it was shot down. We were trying to look at Iran and be aware of what's going on there. You know, there's a lot of tension going on between Iran and here. and Iran thought they could provoke us, and they almost did. Provoke us into some stupid action. I mean, it seems like we've always had leaders that the easiest thing to do was to say, let's go to war! And I don't know, maybe it's just the way Americans are that we always think, well, that'll settle everything. Well, it rarely ever settles anything. I mean, whether we're in the Middle East during the Arab Spring, or whether we're going to take care of what happened because of what they did to the Twin Towers, or any of the other times that we've gotten involved in all the things that we've gotten in. And I believe that God put words in Trump's mouth. And you need to think about this, because they had a 30-minute window. You need to know that in Revelation it talks about that there will be silence in heaven for a period of 30 minutes. That was not it. But there was a 30-minute window where they were trying to make that decision. The pressure was on. And he asked a simple question. He said, how many people will die immediately as a result of what we do? And they said 150. And he said, one drone that cost $110 million to $270 million and 150 lives. No, we're not going to do it. And for if nothing else, you need to be thankful that because I believe everybody that was around him was telling him, do it, do it, do it. We must show them that we are strong. You know, if you're strong, you really don't have to show anybody. And so there are things that are going on there. Now then, the Iranians have shot themselves in the foot. They shot our plane down, but they shot themselves in the foot. And I'll explain that to you. The way they shot themselves in the foot is that no international airline is flying anywhere close to their airspace right now, and has told them, we won't do that as long as you're exhibiting warlike activities. They said, no, we're not at war. Oh, but we don't know when suddenly you're going to light up the sky. So we're not flying anywhere. So all of the international airlines are avoiding Iran at all costs, and Iran realizes that they have made a major mistake. And thank God that he can still put words in leaders' mouths and thoughts in their minds and in their hearts. Tonight we want to look into, there's one book of the 66 that we're told that every time that it is read and every time that it is heard, people are blessed. So tonight you're gathered in this place and you're going to get a blessing. It's not going to be because of me. It's going to be because of Jesus. Jesus has the thing about this book, and there are seven, like a lot of other sevens that there are in this book, there are seven great blessings that are spoken in this book. So I guess you all know where we're going tonight. Whenever I talk about sevens, we're going to the book of Revelation. We're going to start with chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to go a little bit into chapter 2, and we're going to cover a lot of territory. And while you're hearing the word read, you're going to say, I'm supposed to get blessed in this, Lord. Now, then this is not, it's not going to be where God says good things about you. It's going to be where you, in the hearing of this and in the reading of this, you know that something is getting ready to happen. I had somebody said tonight, I'm here because I'm waiting for great things to happen. Well, I can't think of anything greater than knowing that you are blessed. And you'll say, well, how will I know that I'm blessed whenever this happens? Well, because you will realize that suddenly, whenever wars and rumors of wars are happening, whenever people are putting themselves at risk because they're committed, you will know that the king is on the throne and that he does everything right. And so that's what we're going to be seeing tonight as we look into the book of Revelation. And we're going to read here in chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, God the Father gave to Jesus to show to his servants things which must quickly come to pass. We're living in the days when things are going to come quickly to pass. We need to realize that. I mean, in 30 minutes on Friday, we could have been in another war, and we don't know anything about what that could have been like, but which must quickly come to pass. And He, Jesus, sent it and signified it by His angel or His messenger to His servant, John, who then showed it to us tonight. So we see here that there is a progression of how these things are happening. Are you in the progression of your life with Jesus Christ tonight? And it says here, and John, the beloved disciple, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things which he saw. So really, what we're wanting to say here is I want to see Jesus. This is the revealing of Jesus. I want to see Jesus. The greatest thing in all my life is seeing Jesus. The greatest thing in all my life is seeing Jesus. I want to see Him more. I want to see Him more. The greatest thing in all my life is to see Jesus. I want you to know, when your eyes are open and you see Him in the things that are going on in your life, you will begin to realize that you are happy above circumstances. Not only that, that song also says, the greatest thing in all my life is to know you, Lord. The greatest thing in all my life is to know you, Lord. I want to know you more. I want to know you, Lord. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you, my Lord. So tonight, whenever you come together with believers, you want to say to God. You want to say to God. You don't want to say to the preacher, because he may be a man of stuttering lips, and sometimes when you're around somebody who stutters, you may not always be able to hear everything. But coming together like this, you need to tell him, I have determined that it's possible that I might know you, I might see you in my life and in the life of others, and I want to do that. And so he says here that of all the things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy. There are two words for blessed in the New Testament. One is for where we say good things about God, or God says good things about us. And the other is where we are made happy above circumstances. Or we know that because of what we've heard, although I may not be happy above circumstances right now, I'm going there. Okay, blessed is he that hears and they readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, now he's sharing the revealing of Jesus Christ. Now it's going to say the seven churches which are in Asia. And these seven churches are going to represent all of the church as we get into the different churches at one time, if God allows this to continue. You always have to understand that whenever I'm preaching, it all has to be if God allows. I've got plans. God laughs at me a lot. And if y'all want to laugh at me also, I don't mind. So we're looking at this. The seven churches represent all things about all of the churches. Whenever we see this and whenever we look at specific things, yes, but it represents those seven churches because there were much more than those that were in the area. Asia was the area that we call today Turkey. There were many more churches that were there in that area. And so whenever he's addressing the seven, he's addressing the church, all of the church. Grace be unto you. Now remember, grace is the good things that we do not deserve. I always like giving simple descriptions for words, because, I mean, we sing amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And we may not even think we understand what grace is. But grace is receiving the good things that we don't deserve. God has so many good things, and His people don't often look for them. One, because we've been taught that we really don't deserve anything. We don't, because we're such sinners. And the truth of the matter is, we are such sinners. But we get to have them, even though we don't deserve them, because Jesus honored God and submitted Himself to God for us. Grace be unto you and peace. And peace here is the Greek word, which would be used for the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom means such wholeness. It doesn't mean like right now, because on Friday we could have gone to war, but now we're at peace. No, that's not what it's talking about here. This word for peace means when all of the broken pieces are being handled by God, and they're all finding their proper place, and a wholeness comes out of all of that brokenness, and all of us are broken in so many ways. And tonight you need to say, I am tired of believing that my brokenness cannot be made into something marvelous. Because peace comes with when grace is there from Him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Now then, the seven spirits are found in Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 2. You can put that up here on the screen if you want to do that. And I passed out a paper this evening that talks about the seven spirits. And in there it is on the board, Isaiah 11, 2, the Spirit of the Lord. This is the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of Jehovah. And then it says the Spirit of Wisdom. So we see there's number two on our paper here. There's the Spirit of Wisdom, the Spirit of Understanding, the Spirit of Counsel, the Spirit of Strength, the Spirit of Knowledge, and the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord. And these seven spirits are things that the Spirit wants to do to us and in us. And so we need to be aware of these seven spirits. And on this piece of paper, I've given you a little bit of understanding. If you want to know more, you need to study more and look at it. The Spirit of the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, are Yahweh, Jehovah, that this is the existent God, the one that doesn't need anything, the one who created everything, the one who has all power and all might and everything, but He is literally, we speak of Him, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the covenant-keeping God. And those of you that have been in the services and you are aware of the fact that every second Wednesday night, I have to think about that because for some reason I want to say second Tuesday night, but every second Wednesday night of the month, every month, second Wednesday night, we bring the blood covenant out here. And you say, what is that? Well, it's the Lord's Supper. We have it at 8 o'clock service every Sunday morning, but there are some people that find it difficult to get up at 8 o'clock. Isn't that right, Brother LD? Yes, I figured you'd agree with me. So if there are some people that find it difficult to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we don't have nearly as many people as should be there, but that God's going to take care of that and begin to grow that. But on the second Wednesday night, as long as people believe that unleavened bread represents His perfect life, His body, which He offered up for us, and as long as they believe that fruit of the vine, the grape juice or the wine, represents His innocent, precious blood, which paid for salvation, I want you to invite everybody to come in here. Everybody that you can. Because not enough people in America are participating in the blood covenant. When we come together and we do a little bitty thing, we take a little piece of cracker and we go, and we're saying, boy, I can't hardly stand it. My mouth is so dry. I need a drink. And then we have that little bit of grape juice. And I remember as a kid going to that and I say, what was that? And the thing of it is that the blood covenant, if you'll look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, because that's where we see the first real blood covenant. We're aware of it with Noah and others. They offered up sacrifices. But here, God and Abraham are participating with one another in Genesis 15. And God is making promises, and He's making Abraham remember the blessings that he had. He said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to make a blessing out of you, and I will bless you, and I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And so God is making him remember blessings, and He's making him remember promises, and God begins to tell him about the plans that He has for him. Plans that could not be thwarted. And so the blood covenant is all about promises, blessings, and plans, and us doing our little part, so that God can do everything else. And our little part is taking that cracker and believing in the one perfect life. He came down. He satisfied God. He was willing to be beaten and bruised and to shed His blood and to die for me. And the other is to His the cup, and that represents His innocent precious blood, because without the shedding of blood there's no remission of sins. And it tells us that our salvation can only be purchased, not by our good works, but by His innocent precious blood. And so we do that thing, and then I always like at the end of that service on that second Wednesday night to say to this side over here, did any of y'all do anything really big tonight? Did you do something amazing when you were taking your steps of faith? And there are some people that say, well, I did. I said, no, you didn't. All you did was eat some cracker and drink some fruit of the vine. And then I look over at this side and I say, did any of y'all do any more than they did? And after I told them that, nobody's wanting to say anything on this side. And I said, you understand, we've done our little part because we believe in a God who keeps the covenant. So we have here, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord is the covenant-keeping God, the Spirit of wisdom. And the Spirit of wisdom literally means the God who is skillful in making. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything around us is part of God's creation, God's ability, and He's showing us how He has, every day He shows us how He has, this is the day the Lord hath made. And we need to get up with that word on our lips early, so that as we walk into it, we can be able to say, look what God is revealing to me in the midst of that, the Spirit of understanding, and this is the Spirit of the God who considers, perceives, and views. And this morning in the 11 o'clock service, I told the story of Abraham bargaining with God. And it seems as though he's bargaining with God for righteous people. But truly, he's bargaining for the unrighteous people. Because he says, if there are 50 people down there in Sodom and Gomorrah who are righteous, will you destroy the unrighteous and the righteous? And God said, no, I will not destroy it. Not destroy what? The righteous or the unrighteous? It doesn't matter. I won't destroy it. 40, 30, 20, 10. God says, I won't destroy it. I won't destroy it. I won't destroy it. How often do we bargain with God for the unrighteous? And I told you today in the 11 o'clock service that in Iran, the church is exploding. Not because people are blowing it up. Because people are getting saved. And they can't legally hear about it. And those that are not in a place where they can legally hear about it, they're beginning to have dreams and visions of Jesus in Iran. And so I do believe that whenever President Trump, and I want y'all to know I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm an independent, so I can say whatever I want to, and I try not to say anything evil. I want to stick this in here now or not. I don't know, I've got some other spirits to look at here today. I'm going to stick it in anyway. Some of y'all have heard him preaching, whenever I preached, about the Lashon Hara. And you're going to say, what in the world is that? Well, it's Hebrew for the evil report. And the evil report, whenever Joseph was with his brothers and he went out to them. I mean, Jacob loved Joseph for more than the fact that he was one of his youngest sons, and he was the son of the wife that he loved the most. He loved Joseph because he saw in Joseph what wasn't yet happening in his brothers, and he cultivated that thing that was happening in Joseph. But in the process, he had stopped cultivating his, Jacob had stopped cultivating his other sons. And so what happened was Joseph went out and he saw the things that his brothers were doing, and he brought back the evil report. If you study very careful about the evil report, that never, remember, follow along with me, the evil report never goes unpunished. And it is said that it brings more destruction to the person who hears it and accepts it than to the one who is speaking it. But if you're speaking the evil report, and you can say, well, how do I know that? What can you give me as a Bible example? Well, Miriam was bragging about how that she had, was able, that God spoke to her and gave her prophetic abilities. Y'all remember this story, don't you? If you say, I don't remember it, you'll ask me later and I'll tell you where you can find it in the book of Exodus. And she was bragging about the fact that we also are prophets, Aaron and I am, and we're just as good as as Moses and said, not only that, we have not married outside of the Hebrew family. But Moses did. He's married to an Ethiopian woman. What was she doing? She was speaking evil of her sister-in-law. And suddenly, she was covered with leprosy. Why would God do that to her? The evil report will be dealt with. I don't know if you've ever thought about the things that we talk to one another about. You wouldn't believe the things that I hear. And I sometimes I'll try to stop people from telling me certain things. Because I will not accept an evil report. So here, the God that considers and perceives and views, God understands us when we don't understand ourselves. God wants to do things that we don't understand why He would want to do them. He considers, perceives, and He views, and He knows how to be able to consider a thing and perceive it. The next is the spirit of counsel. This is the God who devises plans and purposes. And this all goes into the place where a woman can become a virtuous woman, or a man can become a mighty man of valor. And you all that have heard that enough, I won't go into all the explanation about that. But God, He devises things for us. He wants to bring things to pass for us. He's got plans that cannot be thwarted if we're willing to trust in Him. And He purposes things for us. The Spirit of God that is the Spirit of strength. And this is the God who is a champion, mighty, and a warrior. And this would go along also with the virtuous woman, because a virtuous woman is a woman who's a woman of power and purpose. And a mighty man of valor is a man of power and purpose. Same word for valor and for virtuous. And the God of the Spirit of knowledge, who is cunning and discerning. God is watching everything about us. He understands. You better be very careful with Him. He understands all too well. Especially whenever we're thinking, well, this is really not a problem. Miriam didn't think it was a problem when she brought the evil report out. And then the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the God who is awesome, to be dreaded and to be respected. So there are seven spirits that come out from the throne. And verse 5 in Revelation chapter 1 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Prince of the kings of the earth. We have a king in this country. You may not call him a king. You may call him the president. That's fine. But he is our leader. And there is a prince of all the leaders of the world. And that prince is our Savior. With the song that we sang earlier, the king is coming. Well, for us, he's receiving. We'll come back with him when he finally comes back to this world. And we have here the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Are you washed in the blood? And you can say, well, what does that mean exactly? Is it like using Dove? Is it like using Tide? And I can tell you that the word for washed means that you have, that whenever the blood has been applied to you, that every sin that you can't possibly begin to deal with or get it to turn me loose, because some sins are like bulldogs or pit bulls that have bitten you right back here. And those sins will not turn you loose. You'll learn how to deal with them, because eventually you'll say, okay, if I sit like this, I don't really feel that sin anymore. And we think we're doing a mighty thing. But the blood makes those things loosen on us. And we go to God and say, take care of this sin of mine. And He has made us a kingdom of priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And behold, He comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. You know, I pierced Him with my sins. It was my sins that took Him to the cross. And that's why He was pierced. And all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation. Some of us are here tonight and we're saying, I don't know why my life is like it is. I wish it was different. God says, I've got plans. There's a reason where you are. I don't always reveal all of those things at once. Sometimes I don't tell you till you get to heaven. Are you willing to let me be king? And he says, I am your companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, and was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And we're going to finish on this last verse, verse 10. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now then, you all do know that the Sabbath is from sundown Friday till sundown Saturday. So the Lord's day is Sunday. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now remember, this book is all about Jesus Christ. You seeing Him more clearly. God gives me enough time and I don't follow some of these side things that I have a tendency to follow. If that happens, then we will get a little bit further the next time. And we will actually see Jesus in this chapter. I love the picture that we have in the cafeteria. For those of you that have ever been back there, we have Jesus at the head of the line and He's going like this. And He's laughing. I like to think about some of the things that He said. He laughed. And I like to think about the fact that there are times whenever He looks at me and He laughs, because He still knows what He can do with a fool like me, with a sinner like me, with a man who's broken like me. And whenever we talk today about Sarah laughing, and I believe that God, whenever He said, why did Sarah laugh? And she said, no, I didn't laugh. Really, I didn't. And He said, no, you did. You know you did. And it's not a bad thing. Because Sarah, I laugh with you. So anyway, here we heard the voice as of a trumpet. What is that trumpet saying? Sin will be dealt with. Sin will either cut you away from me, and it will be dealt with because you will go away from me, because you've been cut away from me, or I will deal with it. I'll take it as far away from you as the east is from the west. I'll deal with it. That's my job. God says my job is to take care of your sins. And I will drop them into the sea of forgetfulness. And then I will take you to the throne of God. Jesus says, I will take you to the throne of God. And I will present you without spot and without wrinkle. But only if you have an intimate relationship with me. I'm the God who handles sin. It's my blood. It's my life. It's what I've done. And we often get to thinking, well, and as a believer now, not as an unbeliever, if you're an unbeliever here tonight, you better get your sins taken care of. But as a believer, you get to thinking, well, it's kind of like that old Peggy Lee song, If That's All There Is. You know, and we often sing that song. We can actually sing that one better than we can Amazing Grace. And that's a sad thing when we can sing a song like that better than... And if you don't know what that one is, you need to go look it up on YouTube and listen to it. If that's all there is. If that's all there is. You know. And let me tell you something. With God, believers, it's never all there is. Because we're seeing Jesus. We're going to see Him in His glory. Paul, on the way to Damascus, he saw Jesus, and it caused him to go blind for a while. John, an old man, got to see Jesus shining like the sun. And it didn't make him go blind. It made him filled with such joy that even though he was a prisoner on that isle, he said, I've got to remember everything because I've got to tell everybody about the fact that it's time for us to get into understanding and being involved in the revealing of who Jesus Christ is. So let's all stand. We're going to sing a song. And then we're going to be dismissed. And the song that we're going to sing is